ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड बेग्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 25-32 सुल रिसाइट टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 पुंसोयम् संस्मृतेर् हेतुर् असंतोषोर्तकामयो यद्रच्छयापपन्नेन संतोषो मुक्तये स्मृतः। ट्रांसलेशन: Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. So we'll read the translation purport of the next verses. A Brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 pieces of land. By such a gift, I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, all right, take whatever you like. To confirm his promise to give Vamanadev the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Shukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, who was about to offer everything to Lord Vamanadev. Shukracharya said, O son of Virochan, this Brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Accepting Kashyapa Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fulfill the interests of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. I will read text 32, translation and purport. Translation: this person falsely appearing as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Purport: Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education and beauty. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishye taddanam shanai. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhishthir, the first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is the special favor of the Lord toward a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions, which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions. Here Shukracharya says that this dwarf brahmachari would take away everything. Thus he indicates that the Lord will take away all one's material possessions and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, Savai Mana Krishna Pada Ravindayo, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Vamana to take away all his material possessions and his mind as well. Before I begin to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, I seek the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees, Rajbihari Prabhu, Dauji Prabhu, and all the assembled devotees. So today, in this series of verses, Lord Vamanadev is actually begging charity from Bali Maharaj for 3 pieces of land. So when Vamanadev asked Bali Maharaj that I want 3 pieces of land according to the measurement of my own step, so Vamanadev was completely, Bali Maharaj was completely surprised, because Bali Maharaj was ready to offer anything, and he was the emperor of the whole universe. So when Bali Maharaj was surprised, so Vamanadev is speaking these verses. Vamanadev is speaking about the importance of satisfaction. In fact, he says that if a person is not satisfied with 3 pieces of land, how can he be satisfied even if he possesses all the 3 planetary systems? Especially in the beginning verse, he says that material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. Like I was hearing one lecture on greed, in that the devotee was mentioning some quotes. He was mentioning that although the gold dust looks precious, but when it enters your vision, when it enters your eyes, it blocks your vision. So that is the nature of greed, that although the valuables and possessions in this world may look very attractive, but when the desire to possess, it enters our consciousness and it occupies our consciousness, when a person becomes overcome with greed, then actually one will not be able to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. In fact, this greed is described in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in other scriptures about the how powerful the greed is. In fact, Arjuna says in the first chapter of the Gita, for the reason for the battle of Kurukshetra, he says, Yadyapi etena pashyanti lobo pahata chetasaha kulakshaye pranashyanti lobo pahata chetasaha kulakshaye kritam dosham prapashyadbir janardana, something like that. So Arjuna says, all these persons who are assembled on the Kaurava side, they are overcome with greed and they are ready to kill us. They are ready to kill their relatives. So how can we, when we know that it is wrong, how can we fight with them? So Arjuna is saying basically the cause for the battle of Kurukshetra is that the greed of the Kauravas. The Kauravas are overcome with greed. So that Arjuna says that is the cause of the battle of Kurukshetra. And even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthira Maharaj sent Arjuna to find out about the plans of Krishna, So then he was waiting for Arjuna to come. But at that time he sees that so many ill women in his country. And then when Arjuna comes, he asks so many different questions. What is the cause of this? Why are you looking morose, etc.? But then it is described about the nature of the ill omens which appeared because of the disappearance of Krishna. Or one of the first ill omens which are mentioned is that people have become overcome with greed. So that is the nature of greed. When Krishna disappeared from this world, then people became overcome with greed, hypocrisy, and duplicity. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, it is described about the nature of greed. It is said that hunger and thirst can be satisfied when you eat some food or drink some water. And anger can be satisfied when a person chastises at the object of his dissatisfaction. But greed can never be satisfied even if one possesses more and more. So according to Srimad Bhagavatam, greed is the greatest enemy, even greater than lust and anger. And again, in another place, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, when Uddhava asks a question to Krishna, Uddhava asks that we can tolerate so many bodily difficulties, but especially when a person insults at us, so that insult is very difficult to tolerate. How can we tolerate such insults? So in response to Uddhava's question, Krishna narrates the story of a Brahmana who actually lost all his wealth and was insulted by his relatives. So in that story he narrates that how when the Brahmana was insulted by his relatives and how he lost all his wealth and what was his thoughts, what was his consciousness. So when the Brahmana was meditating, then finally meditating upon his misfortune, somehow he develops a strong sense of renunciation. So at that time he speaks a verse. He says, "Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane vyaye nashopabhaga ayasas trasas chinta bayonrinam." This Brahmana says, In yearning attainment, arthasya, when trying to earn money, or when a person attains money, or when a person is trying to increase his material opulence, or when a person is trying to protect his opulence, or when a person spends his money, or when a person loses his money, or when a person is trying to enjoy his material opulence, in all these endeavors, one only experiences intense labor, anxiety and delusion. So this is the realization of that Brahmana whose story was spoken by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. So we see that, so that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned, by meditating about the, or by discussing about the disadvantages of money, one can overcome greed. So these are the disadvantages of possessing money for one's own sense gratification. Again, like there are some statistics which tell that gambling resources generate 1/3 of the GNP in America. Especially in these 4 regulatory principles, gambling is especially because of when a person becomes overcome with greed, then a person indulges in gambling. So gambling, this greed is so powerful that 1/3 of the gambling resources generate 1/3 of the nation's GNP, gross national product. But I was reading a BTG article in which that Prabhupada disciple Archana Siddhidevi Devasi, she talks about different aspects of gambling. She was talking about, one is about the gross aspect of gambling, in the sense like investing in, say, races or like that. But devotees may not indulge in gross aspect of gambling, but then she also talks about subtle aspects of gambling. which are very interesting when I read. One of the subtle aspects of gambling which Prabhupada talks about is mental speculation. He says that mental speculation is basically trying to understand about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pastimes according to one's limited brain capacity. So that is mental speculation. Like, one example is that when Hiranyaksha was fighting with Lord Varahadev, Hiranyaksha was trying to defeat Varahadev with different weapons. And then finally, when his efforts became useless, he started using his mystic powers. So when he was using the mystic powers, ultimately even his mystic powers became useless. Lord defeated his mystic powers. Then at that point, Lord appeared before Hiranyaksha, and Hiranyaksha tried to embrace Lord Varahadev and crush him with his hands. But then when he tried to embrace him and crush him with his hands, to his surprise, he found that Lord Varahadev was standing outside his arms. So there Prabhupada makes a comment that Hiranyaksha thought that he could actually embrace Lord Varahadev with his arms. He thought that he can actually embrace Lord Varahadev and crush him. He thought Lord is within the measurement of his arms. But then actually he does not know that Lord is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. So this is similarly the scientists. They try to speculate and try to understand the potencies of God and try to understand who is the origin of the creation, how this creation exists with their own limited mental capacity. So that is actually a subtle aspect of gambling. But another subtle aspect of gambling which Prabhupada talks about is, especially, is very relevant even for practicing devotees. Like Prabhupada says that spending time in like reading mundane novels or watching cinemas or indulging in frivolous sports. Like when I read that, I was remembering, because like previously, like we used to watch a lot of cricket matches and so many other things. So Prabhupada says that even indulging in these things is actually a subtle aspect of gambling. And the Archana Siddhi Devidasi, she gives a reason. The reason is that when you see gambling, when a person indulges in gambling, he basically invests his money, or he wastes his money in order to get more money. But when a person loses money can be earned. Even if a person loses 1 crore rupees, money can be earned. But then Chanakya Pandit says that the most precious commodity is time. He says that if a person loses one moment of time, it cannot be earned even with 1 crore rupees or millions and billions of dollars. So when a person indulges in reading mundane novels or or indulging cinemas or indulging frivolous sports, what he is doing is he is actually wasting time which is more precious than money. So in that way it is actually considered gambling. So this is very interesting. So we see that like I was trying to share, especially about this watching cricket matches, especially we were also used to watching before coming to Krishna consciousness, or sometimes even after. But I was reading this verse from the Nectar of Devotion. That time this thought came to my mind. When a person watches, say, cricket matches or different things, we see that the person who are actually playing the match, they actually get thousands and millions of dollars. But the person who watches these matches, actually they don't get anything. They may be mad after the players, but do the players give some money to their fans? Oh, because you're spending so much of time to watch my matches, let me give some dollars, let me give some rupees. Nobody gives. In fact, the only result of being a spectator of the matches is one simply forgets his miseries temporarily. And then when he actually comes out of the match, after finishing seeing the matches, then he becomes face to face with the misery, so the intensity of the miseries is even more. But on the other hand, in the Nectar of Devotion, when Rupa Goswami talks about this principle of sadhana bhakti, he talks about observing the aarti ceremony of the Lord. He doesn't even mention performing the aarti. He talks about observing the aarti ceremony of the Lord. That he quotes a verse from a scripture. He says, when a person goes to the temple of the Lord and sees the face of the Lord during the aarti ceremony, he becomes freed from millions of sins committed in millions of births, and he becomes freed from even from sin of killing of Brahmana. So in the devotional service, not only the person who actually performs the aarti, but even a spectator is actually given so much of benefit. Whereas in the material activities, a spectator of the activities is never given any benefit. So that is the nature of devotional service. So this is the nature of greed. We understand that how greed is actually so powerful. But coming to the point of solution, like in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned the solution for greed is to develop satisfaction. Manaprasada Samyatvam Stairyam Atma Vinigraha. Krishna says that the austerity of mind is to develop satisfaction. And even in the 10th canto, it is described about the process of cleaning different things. It is mentioned that the mind is cleansed by satisfaction. So greed means wanting to acquire more and more. But when a person develops a service attitude, when a person becomes satisfied, then one can be actually experience inner happiness. Like I was hearing a lecture of Gaurang Prabhu, he was making some quotes, very interesting quotes. He said, life is like a tennis match. You can only hope to win if you serve well. Like in a tennis match, a person who serves well, he has a good chance of winning. And tennis match begins with love all. And he was mentioning, success means to get what you like, but happiness or satisfaction means to like what you get. So when a person develops satisfaction, then one can overcome greed. In fact, this principle of, one is to develop material satisfaction, that is, to be satisfied with whatever material possessions one has. But then, like one can develop this satisfaction, but ultimately, one can develop complete satisfaction only when a person engages in the service of the Lord. Because even if a person becomes materially satisfied, still the modes of nature will sometime pop up. Greed and anger will sometime, passion and ignorance will pop up, and then one will give in to greed and anger. But whereas when a person engages in the service of the Lord, one will be completely satisfied. Like in the 4th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Prachetas offer prayer to Lord Vishnu, Prachetas say, Varam Vrini Mahetapi Natatvat Paratapparad Nakhyantastvat Vibhutinam Sonanta Yitigiyase. Prachetas say, we want to ask a benediction from you, O Supreme Lord. Why do we want to ask a benediction from you? Because you are greater than the greatest. Natatvat Paratapparat. Not only that, you are greater than the greatest, but you possess unlimited opulences. That is why you are celebrated by the name Ananta. So Ananta Iti Giyase. When the Prajeta speak this verse to Lord Vishnu, so Lord Vishnu thinks, because they are addressing me by the name Ananta, that means one who is having unlimited opulences, maybe they want unlimited opulences. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments this way. So then, when Lord says, okay, you want unlimited opulences, tell me what opulences you want. I am ready to give you whatever you want. Then Prajeta say, Parijatenjasa labde sarango anyana sevate twadangri moolamasadya sakshat kim kim vrinimahi. Prajeta say, actually, when you get unlimited opulences, we can actually never get satisfaction. We don't want unlimited opulences. We want only service unto your lotus feet. And they say, just like a bumblebee, it travels from one flower to another flower, wanting to get nectar. But then, only when it reaches the Parijata flower and takes nectar from Parijata flower, then it becomes completely satisfied. So similarly, when a person tries to get so many opulences and tries to render service to different personalities in this universe, then one never experiences full satisfaction. But when a person engages in the service of the Lord, then a person experiences full satisfaction. So in this way, Prajeta say, a complete satisfaction can be obtained only when a person engages in the service of the Lord. In fact, Prabhupada talks about Prabhupada in different places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He takes this principle of satisfaction to another level. One is to be satisfied with whatever material possessions one has. In fact, in the Nectar of Devotion, one of the principles of sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami mentions, is straightforward in ordinary dealings and maintaining equilibrium in loss and gain. Because Rupa Goswami mentions that one has to maintain equilibrium in loss and gain. When a person loses some material possessions, when a person starts lamenting over the material possessions, he says that in such a person, in such a person whose heart is filled with lamentation and anxiety, Krishna can never appear in the heart. So he says that one has to maintain equilibrium in loss and gain. But then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, this principle does not apply when a person loses some money or possession which are involved in the service of the Supreme Lord. Suppose you are trying to render some service to the Lord and you lose something which are used in the service of the Lord, then still if you maintain equilibrium, well, let me be maintain equilibrium in loss and gain. So that is not actually approved by the Acharyas. So one has to put endeavor to do the service in a better way. So coming to this principle, that how a person should not be satisfied with little service and wanting to serve more and more. In fact, in this particular aspect, Prabhupada mentions a point in the fourth canto. When the Prithu Maharaj, when he was coronated as the king, he saw that the whole earth planet was actually not having any grains. People were starving because earth was not producing any grains. So that time Prithu Maharaj thought for a moment as to what is the cause of the starvation, why the earth is not producing grains. Because he thought that all the citizens were perfectly, they were performing the Vedic sacrifices, they were performing the yajnas, but still the earth is not producing grain. So then he concluded, the cause is, actually the mistake is with the earth planet itself. She is not giving the grains. So he takes his bow and arrow, he was about to kill Mother Earth. So that time, Mother Earth appears, and when she sees that Prithu Maharaj is so angry at her, she actually starts, she surrenders to Prithu Maharaj, and she gives different arguments why she should not be killed. She gives three arguments. Especially I want to mention two arguments. She says, one of the first arguments she says is that actually I am sinless. I did not commit any violence to anybody else. I did not commit any sinful action. So you should not kill me. And then she says, even if I had committed a sin, I am a woman. So if a woman had committed a sin, she should not be killed so brutally. She should not be punished. So when she puts forward her argument, Prithu Maharaj actually replies to Mother Earth. In fact, this reply is very significant, especially in regards to like preaching Krishna consciousness. We see when devotees preach Krishna consciousness, sometimes Hindus, the so-called Hindus, they actually give an argument. People say, why are you actually preaching Krishna consciousness? You just practice at your home. What is the need to preach? So do your puja at your home. Why are you making such propaganda? Sometimes people argue. So this point which Prabhupada makes in this purport is very relevant. Especially in this situation. When Prithu Maharaj, in reply to Mother Earth, he says that any cruel person, whether he is a woman or or a eunuch or even if an old man, if he is a cruel person who does not show compassion to others, he should be killed. A king should not tolerate such a person. So because Prithu Maharaj is saying, Mother Earth said, I did not commit any violence to others. But Prithu Maharaj is saying, how can you simply be satisfied when you see that all the citizens in the planet here, they are starving because of lack of food grains? How can you simply keep quiet and be satisfied? You should show compassion to them. So Prabhupada takes this principle of compassion to another level. He says, in the spiritual circle, when a devotee is self-satisfied and does not preach, just like these so-called Hindus, who may be doing their spiritual activity, but they do not preach to others. So Prabhupada says, such a person is not a first-class devotee. But on the other hand, a devotee who tries to preach is actually a superior devotee. Of course, I'm just speaking this for my own remembrance, so that I become serious. So this political principle. So here we see Prabhupada does not talk about self-satisfaction in regards to preaching Krishna consciousness. In fact, he says that one should not be self-satisfied in regards to with one's own practice of Krishna Karma, one should actually preach Krishna consciousness and give it to others. That is why in the Nectar of Instruction, when Prabhupada gives a definition of Uttama Adhikari, he says, a Uttama Adhikari is one who is busy trying to make more and more devotees. Who is not satisfied with less devotees, who is busy trying to make more and more devotees. And when we see this principle of course, we are preaching Krishna consciousness, we are performing our devotional service for our own purification. We may not have compassion for our own purification to engage our propensities. But Prabhupada was a person who was preaching Krishna consciousness out of spiritual greed in order to make more and more disciples, in order to make more and more devotees. But another aspect of this greed in respect to preaching, in this particular aspect, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada talks about increasing the number of devotees. But sometimes when a person is trying to increase the number of devotees, one may lose track of the quality in preaching. And Prabhupada talks about this aspect in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually very interesting. And this is also very relevant to this particular pastime. In the fourth canto, when Narada Muni was trying to preach to this king Prachina Barishad, this king Prachina Barishad, he was performing so many karmakanda sacrifices, but he was not satisfied. Then he approaches Narada Muni, and then he actually confesses. Like, I was reading a billboard, it was mentioned, the number one celebrity lifestyle magazine. So especially, there are so many magazines come, but those magazines which talk about celebrity lifestyles, which are actually very famous, and they are very costly, and people go after those magazines. And especially, if a celebrity makes a confession, that will be like a hot news, the front page of the magazine. Because, so like, people are always looking towards the celebrity, and celebrity makes a confession, so like it will be hot news. So here, King Prachina Barishad was like a celebrity, because he was the emperor of the whole planet. Not only that, who was his wife? His wife was Shatadruti, who was such a beautiful woman that even the demigods were envious, were wanting to possess her. So King Prachina Barishad had such a wife, and he was the emperor of the whole universe, and he was making this confession to Narada Muni. So this shows that although a person may be a big celebrity with so many opulences or beauty, are possessing a beautiful person, still one cannot be satisfied if a person does not have Krishna consciousness. So when Prachina Barishad surrenders to Narada Muni, Narada Muni, in order to preach to Prachina Barishad, he speaks an allegorical story. So he speaks a story of King Puranjan. Of course, this story spans over more than 4 chapters and Prabhupada gives long purports. He speaks an allegorical story because King Prachina Barishad was a king, so he cannot preach directly Krishna consciousness, because his ego will be hurt, and then he may never take to Krishna consciousness. So in order to give him the medicine of Krishna consciousness, he speaks an allegorical story, and then indirectly through that story, he actually tells him what is actually wrong, what he should do. So first he speaks an allegorical story of Puranjan. So after speaking that story, then Prachina Barishad inquires that actually I do not completely understand your allegorical story. So please tell me what this story really means. So then Narada Muni starts explaining this story. He starts explaining the different characters in the story, and how he tells that how these different characters are actually the living entity who is trying to enjoy happiness, and then he suffers. He relates that story so that he can understand better. And then after describing this, then Narada Muni slowly his preaching becomes more and more direct. He says that people are trying to mitigate miseries, but then their attempt to mitigate miseries is like, suppose somebody is trying to carry a burden on his head, and then he removes the burden on the head, and then he puts the burden on the shoulder. So that is not actually mitigating misery. He simply changes the burden from head to shoulder. So similarly, people are trying to mitigate miseries from different means, through karmakanda, etc. But then they cannot be, one cannot get complete freedom from miseries. And then his preaching becomes very direct. He says, Tasmin mahan mukarita madubicharitra piyu shashesha sarita parita shravanti taye pibantya vitrisham nripagada karnais tanas prishant ashanatrid bayashoka moha. Prachina Barishad is saying, he is very directly saying, you should simply hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Madhubit, the killer of the Madhu demon. He says that when pure devotees engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and when pure devotees engage in great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and whoever gets an opportunity to visit such a place and gets an opportunity to take part in such discourses and hear those discourses, such a person becomes free from hunger, thirst, lamentation and illusion. In this way, he directly speaks about Krishna consciousness. You should simply perform devotional service beginning with hearing and chanting. So then, when he completes his direct preaching of Krishna consciousness, so then Prachina Parishad becomes convinced. He becomes convinced that Krishna consciousness is the goal, is the solution. But then, Narada Muni is not satisfied with that. Narada Muni describes another allegorical story. He says that just consider this deer. This deer, he tells about a deer. This deer is trying to enjoy the sweet singing of the bumblebees in the forest. But this deer is unaware that on one side a tiger is waiting to devour him, and another side the deer, he does not know that a hunter is ready to kill him. But he is absorbed in his own enjoyment. So why is Narada Muni is telling Prachina Parishad, actually you are living in the your situation is not comfortable. Narada Muni is comparing Prachina Parishad's situation to be of that of a deer. Like, one may wonder how Prachina Parishad is not living in a comfortable situation. Prachina Parishad is living in a palace, he is the emperor of the king, he has such a beautiful wife. How is it not comfortable? Because Narada Muni is saying that you have to take complete shelter of Krishna. You have to immediately leave the palace and go to the forest and perform devotional service, taking complete shelter of Krishna. So at this point, Prachina Parishad is already convinced that I have to perform devotional service. But then Narada Muni is not satisfied with that. Narada Muni is not simply satisfied with making a 16-rounder devotee or simply making somebody initiated or something. Because Prachina Parishad is already convinced he is going to perform devotional service. But Narada Muni wanted him to take complete shelter of Krishna. So this shows that Narada Muni is not simply a person who wants quantity, but he is a person who wants quality. So this is another aspect of spiritual greed exhibited by Narada Muni. In fact, Prabhupada makes a very, very wonderful point in the purport. He says, the duty of the spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as he does not come to the understanding that fruitive activities or materialistic activities are useless. Like, there are different services, like distributing prasad or arranging a festival. Like, both those services will be completed once the festival is completed or once the prasadam distribution is over, or once we perform the deity worship, etc., or once the construction of the temple is over. But then it may appear that the spiritual master's duty is like very simple, giving lectures. But then the service of the spiritual master is the most difficult, because Prabhupada mentioned duty of spiritual master is to instruct the disciple as long as the disciple does not come to the understanding that materialistic activities are useless. That means he has to have so much patience till the point his consciousness is completely changed. In fact, this mood of the spiritual master exhibited by even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna speaks in the 18th chapter, after speaking the entire Gita, he says, Kachit eta shrutam partha tvaya ekagrena chetasa kachit agyana sammoham pranashtaste dananjaya. Krishna is saying, I have spoken the Gita, but have you understood? Are all your doubts dispelled? Are you convinced what is supposed to be done? So when Krishna speaks this verse, Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna is acting in the position of a spiritual master to Arjuna. So he wants to know from Arjuna whether his doubts are dispelled. And then Prabhupada says, Krishna is ready to repeat any point from the Bhagavad Gita if Arjuna had not understood it. In fact, Krishna is ready to repeat the entire Gita if Krishna had understood. So Krishna is not speaking the Gita, not in the mood of a speaker, in the mood of trying to attract people, but he was actually concerned with Arjuna, whether Arjuna had actually understood or not. He was concerned with the quality, again the same, which is the same mood exhibited by Narada Muni. He is not simply satisfied with that Prachina Bhakti has become a devotee. He wanted him to make complete shelter, to take complete shelter of the Lord. I'll just take few more minutes. That there are some more points in this pastime which are very interesting. So when Varmanadeva spoke these verses, so Bali Maharaj is ready to give those three steps of land according to the measurement of Vamanadeva. So then when he is ready to actually give the charity, Shukracharya stops him. He says that, oh, here this is Vishnu who has come to take charity and he is going to take away everything. So please do not give him. But then Bali Maharaj does not listen to Shukracharya. So it's a very interesting lesson. You can understand. So Shukracharya is, in one sense, he is like a family priest of the, is like a family priest of the demons. He is like a material authority. So Bali Maharaj did not accept Shukracharya's words and he goes on to give charity. So in like in our own case, sometimes we have some material authorities. Like sometimes, like material authorities are like parents. Like sometimes a person rejects the authority of the parents. Like when Prabhupada went to West, hippies, they would not accept the authority of the parents. Anybody who is above 30, they would not accept. But another extreme is to follow the parents or any material authority so meticulously that he does not understand what is the purpose of following the material authority. Like suppose when you are preaching to the students and you tell them, why don't you come for the yatra? You say, we have to take permission from my parents who are living in UP, Bihar, like that. Like for going for a one day yatra or two day yatra, parents are never going to come to know. But then they want to follow the parents, but they don't know what is the purpose of following the parents, ultimately to surrender to Krishna. So we see people blindly following material authority or blindly rejecting material authority. So two extremes. But Bali Maharaj, he neither blindly followed Shukracharya nor did he blindly reject Shukracharya. Because when a person is blindly following a, say, material authority, say even a spiritual personality, when that spiritual personality falls down, then usually sometimes a person may continue to follow that personality not knowing that this person has fallen down. And another extreme is, another reaction may be like he leaves the path of Krishna consciousness, thinking that, oh, even such great devotees, like sometimes we see, like some devotees take to Krishna consciousness and they perform, so become enthusiastic and they go to the great, they occupy great positions, and then suddenly they leave Krishna consciousness, they start practicing those sinful habits which they preached against previously. So when people follow, when people see that, oh, some people have fallen down, so their faith gets shaken and common people, they may leave the path of Krishna consciousness. So that is also a result of blind following. So in fact, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj says in his book, when a person, suppose when a leader leaves the path of Krishna consciousness and takes to the previous sinful life, it should actually increase the faith of the person. It should increase the faith of the person in the potency of Krishna consciousness. How is it? Because when we see the fall down of a person, we may think, oh, maybe Krishna consciousness does not work. Krishna never existed. One's faith gets shaken, one leaves. But Bhaktivedanta Maharaj says, it should actually increase the faith of the person in the process of Krishna consciousness. He says, when a person, suppose a medicine is there, a person is having a disease, I mean, when you take the medicine according to the prescription of the doctor, then we see that the person is actually, his disease is getting cured. And when the person stops taking the medicine according to the prescription of the doctor, his health deteriorates. So that should only increase the faith in the medicine, because he is not taking the medicine according to the prescription. So similarly, he says, any fall down in Krishna consciousness, it is indirectly connected with aparadha or offense. So when a person takes to Krishna consciousness and advances in Krishna consciousness, he should increase our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And when a person suddenly leaves and takes to the previous sinful habits, he should remind us that because he has committed aparadha, or because he is not practicing Krishna consciousness according to the prescribed method, that is, he is committing offenses, that is why he is deviated. So that should only increase. So here we see Bali Maharaj, he neither blindly followed Shukracharya, nor did he blindly reject Shukracharya. And the last point what Prabhupada makes in the purport, he says that, Prabhupada says that Lord knew that Bali Maharaj is actually attached to his possessions. So when a devotee is attached to his possessions, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishki tadanam shanai. The Lord actually removes the material possessions so that the devotee becomes more and more serious. So this actually tells about another quality of the Lord. We read this quality in the 9th chapter of the Gita. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. Ye bhajanti dubham bhaktiya maite teshu chapyam. Krishna says that I am equal to everyone, but for my devotee, I am I am especially partial to my devotee. One may think Krishna is partial only to his pure devotees. But this purport, especially this verse which Prabhupada quotes in the purport, this tells that Krishna is not only partial to his pure devotees, but Krishna is partial even to his mixed devotees who are having some material desires. When a person is having, devotees attached to material desires and material possessions, Krishna is even partial to such a devotee. How he shows his partiality? By removing his material possessions. So this shows another aspect of Krishna, that Krishna is not only partial to his pure devotee, but even to his mixed devotees. So in this way, we see so many lessons in this particular pastime. Just recapitulate, we talked about how greed in this world actually is a cause of downfall. He quoted different examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason for the battle of the Kurukshetra, the initial symptoms which appeared after Krishna disappeared. We also talked about the solution of satisfaction. One has to develop satisfaction in order to overcome greed. But then, ultimate satisfaction is when a person engages in the service of the Lord. He quoted the example of Prajeta's prayers to Lord Vishnu. And we also talked about another level of satisfaction which Prabhupada mentions in his purport about spiritual greed. And Prabhupada talks about, gives the definition of Uttamadhikari, wanting to make more devotees, and one is not simply satisfied with the quantity, but wants to make quality devotees. And then we talked about Bali Maharaj neither blindly accepting Shukracharya, not blindly rejecting Shukracharya. So I'll stop here. I beg forgiveness if I have spoken in an instructive tone or if it is agitating to others. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.